The Week's Geek, hosted by Ralph Tromsey.
All right, how's it going, y'all? Welcome back to The Week's Peak. We're back with another episode. So I appreciate you all for the support on your last Saturday's episode. It did very well with Chris Clark. Got to know him a little bit in the TikTok business a little bit as well. And you know, the Mexican culture and how he embraces that, you know, as an African-American, which I think is pretty dope. So if you haven't checked that out, make sure you go and do that. Support was great. But a couple episodes ago, I referenced that I want to do an episode on like YouTube boxing, right? Because it was a big thing in, I guess, two or three episodes ago with Esau. And we kind of stumbled upon this, talked about Floyd and Logan and all that. But I wanted to get someone who, you know, in the boxing community, someone who actually knows what they're talking about, unlike me and Esau. So who better do that than, you know, founder of Fight Hub TV, Marcos Villegas. Marcos, how's it going, sir?
Glad to be here, man. It's going well, Ralph. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure having you on. You know, I will say I'm not the biggest boxing fan, right? But I did start, you know, following it a little bit more. I believe it was in 2019 when Manny Pacquiao went against Adrian Broner. you know, and as a Filipino, whenever Pac-Man fights, it's always big, you know? And that was really the first one that I, you know, started getting into and started, you know, watching more, you know, super fights. Then I started kind of going deeper into it, watching some more, you know, low-key fights and getting to know fighters and this and that. But then, you know, quarantine hit this year or last year, and I kind of fell off. You know, we didn't see boxing for a minute. But now that we've had, you know, some bigger fights than our belts again, and I've been starting to, you know, get back into the boxing world. So, and in that time, you know, I've really been following you on Fight Hub, and it's you know, a pleasure, you know, to talk to you right now, man.
Same here, man. Thank you for coming on. And I'm surprised, man. You being Filipino, it took you to the Broner fight to be a fan?
It did. It did. You know, I have the memories, all the fights, you know, and everything. And, you know, obviously, you know, when the fighting pride, you know, takes the ring, it's always big. But something about it, I was never, you know, just like captivated by it, you know. But eventually I am, though, you know. So it's good to get to be in boxing, you know. It's definitely a sport that I think goes much deeper than just a sport, you know, especially the things that come out of it and all of that. And just following it, you know, it's a different breed, you know, because I'm a basketball fan myself, you know, so it's a little bit different. But again, man, it's good to have you on. As I mentioned, I want to break this up a little bit, and I want to first talk about you, because I know you're very successful, you know, with Fight Hub TV. I mean, before we get to that, I mean, introduce yourself to those who, you know, might not know who you are.
Yeah, my name is Marcos Villegas. I am the founder of Fight Hub TV, probably the world's biggest YouTube channel for, like, boxing media content, like news and all that sort of thing, like news and interviews. I guess talent, that's what they call it, talent on PBC, on Fox, on all the boxing broadcasts. I'm the unofficial scorer, so I'm like the Harold Letterman of Fox. Mm-hmm. I'm scoring all the fights live on Fox and whenever they have them. So, I've been doing that for quite a long time now, mm-hmm. to be honest.
Gotcha. So, I mean, what drove you, you know, into this business of the sport of boxing?
Oh, wow. I'd always been a fan of it growing up. Uh-huh. And you know, it's funny that you mentioned, you know, you getting together with your family and watching the Pacquiao fights. And, you sure. know, it was the same thing with me growing up watching the Julio Cesar Chavez mm-hmm. senior fights. You know, those are some of, like, my earliest memories mm-hmm. of boxing. And I had always liked it, but, you know, I wasn't a super fan. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until after college I had a marketing job for an MMA company, and I wanted to work in sports marketing. And during that time, I was doing their whole, you know, marketing program, because I come from a marketing background. Mm. And I had all this leftover content that they didn't want to use, and I didn't know, like, what to do to it. So I just started randomly uploading it on YouTube, and it just progressed from there, because, you know, two clips went pretty viral pretty quick. And I knew I had something there, and I just, you know, I'm like, well, if I'm going to do this, like, I don't want it to just only be MMA. I want it to be boxing as well. Mm-hmm. And I just started showing up at the gyms and just being like, hey, can I interview you, record you? And you know, at the time, I didn't get a lot of resistance, to be honest. People would be like, yeah, you know, come in. Yeah, sure, you know, because they wanted the attention. So that's kind of how, on short form, how it happened. You know, it wasn't something that I ever planned to happen, and never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that YouTube would become like a full-time job for me, which is still, when I think about it, it's kind of cool, you know. Back then, like, I always knew something would come out of it, but yeah, it was an accident.
Yeah, it's crazy, because I've interviewed, you know, some other, you know, content creators and influencers, and it feels like a lot of people kind of had that same story, you know, like it kind of just happened, you know, it wasn't something that they, you know, pushed out to achieve or anything like that. And it's just great to know that, like, you know, that's possible nowadays, you know, with YouTube and, you know, with all social media, you know, you put some stuff out there that, you know, you don't think that might blow up or might do well. And next thing you know, it starts nothing to something, you know? So did you ever have, you know, hopes to, you know, when they even get in the ring, were you kind of that, you know, in that kind of, in that road going there, or was it always just kind of in the, you know, interviewing, reporting, that kind of like the outside stuff?
No, you know, the interviewing and the reporting, you know, everything that I learned about interviewing and reporting and broadcasting, I learned on the job. And when I started out, I was freaking terrible. I was, it's cringy to see like the work when I began, like I get so like cringe and embarrassed. And, you know, I'd always been in combat sports. You know, I wrestled in middle school and in high school, and, you know, I trained in MMA. And when I was in my advertising job, you know, the thought did cross my mind, because I was doing a lot of sparring with the MMA pros. And, you know, I was doing pretty well. And, you know, I thought like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I need to do this now. But I don't know. I was just always in the back of my mind. I always felt like, you know, this, just seeing like all the guys and how hard it was for them to get fights, and, you know, they're fighting for barely nothing. Like it didn't settle well with me. Like I knew like, okay, this is going to be a very, very hard path. Like there's other ways to make money easier. So the thought did cross my mind at one point when I was around like 23, 24, you know, and I started training in boxing when I was around 26. And then the thought crossed my mind again. But, you know, at that point, you know, I started talking to some of the pros that worked at the gym. And, you know, when I heard, they said that they've been training since they were little kids, since they were like 7, 8, 11, 12. I thought like, nah, like this isn't going to work out. I'm at too much of a disadvantage here.
Yeah, yeah. How big of a factor was that? Just knowing like you were kind of, you know, you weren't even start as young as they did and all that.
Man, you know, it played a factor. I'll be honest. It did. Yeah.
Interesting. If you were to go back and change anything, would you, you know, put all your effort, all your time into, you know, going pro, or would you still, you know, stick to the path that you've gone on over the years?
Man, that's tough, because, you know, there is a part of me that, you know, has always wondered if I would have stuck with it early on, or if, like, you know, cause I remember I asked my mom if she could take me to a boxing gym when I was around 12. And, you know, she told me, like, no, like, absolutely not. You're not going to learn how to box, you know. And I always, you know, from time to time, I always do, like, think about, like, what if she did say, like, yeah, okay, well, we'll take you to a boxing gym, teach you how to box, you know. Like, what would have happened if I stuck with it? But, you know, now in hindsight, like, it's the hardest way to make a living, man. It really is. And, you know, you got to have a lot of things that go right. And a little bit of luck too on the way, and just overall, like it's the hardest profession, I think, to be successful, to be a fighter that is successful. It takes a lot out of you, man. And, you know, I think there's easier ways to make a living. Not knocking it at all, you know. I think it's one of the most valiant professions there is on the face of earth. To be honest, and these fighters are some of the most purest athletes and people, nicest people that I've had a chance to meet. You know, it surprises you like how nice and caring some of these fighters are, but at the end of the day, you gotta take punches in the face.
Yeah.
There's other ways to make a living.
Yeah, it's not for everyone, you know?
Yeah, it's not for everyone, that's for sure.
Yeah. mean, I hear a lot of people always saying, you know, oh, you know, boxing's easy. You know, just go in there, throw punches, this and that. But then I think to myself, it's like, it's much more than that. You know, like, there's so much dedication, so much time and effort that really goes into it that you don't see, you know, in training camps, in just, you know, training, you know, all year long, making sure you're in shape and all that. Like, it takes a lot of discipline, you know. Talk to me about all that, like, and what you've seen in fighters in terms of, you know, determination and seeing them, you know, work their butts off, you know, all year long.
Yeah, it's, you know, boxing takes so much from, you know, and only sport, because, like, you don't have anybody that can relate to you. You know, yeah, there's other boxers, but, you know, that train with you, but everybody goes through their own struggle, their own road, their own journey. And, you know, the guys that do this, it really takes up all your time. You know, you wake up in the morning, you do your road work, get a little break. Mm-hmm. Then you go to your other training session, take a little break, then go to your strength and conditioning, and then go right to bed. And it's like, repeat that process for 6 to 8 weeks at a time. You know, and boxing's a lifestyle too. You know, they can't get themselves out of shape. And it's just the massive amount of sacrifice that it takes to be a pro that can compete on the world level. It's crazy, you know, and the amount of discipline it takes and the nutrition. And it's a struggle too, because, you know, you don't make money when you first get into it. You know, so this is the other thing. I remember at the gym, I asked, like, one of the guys had just gone pro, and he had, like, maybe 2-3 fights, and I asked him, like, hey, how much are you making per fight? And he told me only like $1,000. And I was like, what the hell? Yeah. Like, you're taking these punches for just $1,000?
That's
like
crazy.
I'd rather just sit in a cubicle then.
Yeah.
You know, I make more in a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's tough. And these guys, you know, a lot of them are doing it to get out of poverty. A lot of the fighters on the international level, and even the fighters here in America, you know, a lot of them come from poor backgrounds. So it's their only option.
Right.
To get out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, just as you mentioned, there's just so many components that go into it. So many reasons why people will step into sport, you know, some different than others. And, you know, just it kind of blows my mind just to hear that, you know. And obviously every fighter comes from, you know, they all have their own stories and everything, you know, and just all that they put into it. And, you know, even starting off as smaller and not even making that much and putting themselves in risk, you know, stepping in the ring is, like I said, just, you know, mind blowing to me. Going to, you know, your reporting and kind of, you know, what you're doing now, talking about that process, sometimes, you know, I know you're in gyms and you're talking to fighters and coaches and all of that. And does it get hard to separate being a fan from, you know, doing your job?
No, not at all. You know, I always, from the very beginning, I you know, cause I went to, even though I didn't study broadcast journalism in 4-year university, I did go back, you know, to my local junior college and took, you know, the AA route for journalism. So, you know, I learned very on to be objective and unbiased and separate the fanness or being a fan from when you're interviewing. So, no, you know, it wasn't difficult at all, even from the beginning. And even though a lot of the guys, like, I would see all the time and I'd have very, very good rapport, you know, I always knew that there was a distinction between, you know, me doing my job journalistically and them, regardless of how well I got along with them.
Interesting. You bring up a point that I never really thought about in terms of, you know, being biased towards, you know, one side or the other. Is that difficult at times? You know, I know obviously, you know, you've learned and, you know, over time, I'm sure you have, you know, a bunch of experience that's helped you, you know, being able to, you know, take things from the middle and, you know, provide just as much from one side as the other. Does it ever get tough to kind of balance that out and making sure that, you know, I'm not overdoing this one side than the other?
For me, no, it doesn't, because, you know, I've gone to school and it's been indoctrinated in me. You know, the other thing too is, you know, your reputation is everything when you're in journalism, you know, and if your reputation gets tainted, you know, that's pretty much a wrap, you know. It's going to take a long, long time for people to get their confidence back in you. So, you know, I was always very careful, and I still am careful to not get, you know, too friendly with people in terms of, like, the athletes and you know, the way I'll approach or even, like, the way, like, I'll ask a question when I'm interviewing. So, you know, I've never really had a problem with that or separating the two, I've always been really, really careful with that.
Mm-hmm. Would you say your education has helped you do that even better in comparing to other reporters?
You know, the other reporters, a lot of them did go to school for journalism. Like, you know, boxing is a weird thing. So you have like the print people, you know, those are the people that went to journalism school at four universities. And then You got the YouTube crowd. And like, yeah, a lot of the people in the YouTube crowd did not go to school for this.
Yeah.
So, and that's where you see they're extremely biased. And I just, it kind of bugs me sometimes because it makes all of us, the ones that are trying to not look like that, it makes all of us look bad because they lump us all in together.
Yeah.
But like I mentioned, I had to learn everything on the job, and then I had to go back to school, and then, you know, I got lucky. Hmm. Like, I had two really, really good mentors that really helped me out a lot that, you know, were Hall of Fame broadcasters. Oh. And, you know, if it wasn't for them, you know, I don't think I would have made the big jumps and leaps that I made in terms of improving it. And it's like they pretty much gave me, like, the equivalent of what I would have learned in college. Like, granted, if I would have taken broadcast journalism in college, I would have been at a more advanced, I think, path than when I started. But I think because I learned on the job, I learned a lot of other things that necessarily if you were to take somebody from college and throw them in a situation that is like a boxing event, like a crazy fight week, they wouldn't know what to do. They wouldn't know to always be scanning. And like there's certain things you pick up, certain body language from people or, you know, a certain – like if it's weird, like you'll see certain signals from people and you know, like, oh, okay, you know, this is my chance to talk to him or get him, or like, oh, something's going on over here. You know, it's little things like that they wouldn't know if you were to just throw them in there.
Interesting. Does it take time to get used to those things, looking for those little signals and all that, like little cues and all that?
Oh yeah, it took me years. It took me years, you know, because it's the other thing too is, oh, a big part of interviewing, especially when you're interviewing someone in person, is, you know, their body language, you know.
Yeah.
If their body language changes, if they, you know, they turn into like an aggressive posture, you know, you gotta contend with the energy of the interview and really change your energy. And you know, it's not more or less like capitulate to them, but you know, tone down the energy so they don't feel as threatened, you know. So yeah, that takes a very long time to be able to pick up on things like that.
Interesting. Yeah, because I know there's a couple of viewers that have reached out saying that like they kind of want to do like the interviews and all of that, and you know, go into reporting, go into journalism. Is there any advice that you would give to them starting off, anything that would help them you know, as a small foundation for them as they get started?
Yeah, you know, even though I learned on the job, you know, it would have been helpful early on for me if I had gone to school for broadcast journalism, because they teach you a lot of things there so that you're starting off on the right path. Now, the other thing that I would advise is you have to have thick skin, extremely thick skin. You know, be prepared to get told no and get told no a lot. Be prepared to go into, you know, interview situations, to be adversarial at times, because, you know, given the current climate, you know, people see the media and see journalists as in not a favorable light. Yeah. You know, and a lot of athletes always feel that they get unfairly criticized, you know, by journalists. You know, warranted, some of it is fair criticism. Others, you know, it could be like a nitpicky type thing. But, you know, I would say, like, you got to have tough skin. You got to be willing to take a look at yourself and see where you mess up, where you can improve as well, because, you know, this stuff shows up on, like, you know, on YouTube, you know. And
right.
And I remember when I started in the beginning, man, the YouTube comments would rip into me, and I'd get so, like, depressed and sad and mad, and you know, I'd question if, like, this was the right decision, if I could do this, you know. But there were a few comments there that had constructive criticism, and you know, I would look at those ones that had, like, hey, you know, you should do this, and you know, I would take notes, and I'd always take notes to be like, hey, what are you doing? You're saying too much. You're saying this too much. You're not looking at the camera during, you know, little things like that. So always be willing to take constructive criticism and don't take it personal. Don't take it to heart.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, as someone who might be an outsider, you know, it may seem like a lot. You know, they wouldn't have thought that all this goes into something as, to them, as simple as reporting, right? Obviously, there's a lot of things that go into it. I feel like sometimes it surprises people, you know, how much that you really do have to put yourself in the right mindset in order to go out there and report, asking questions, making sure, you know, you're looking at cues and you're paying attention, you're always, you know, locked in on the spot. And even me, as, you know, as a smaller, you know, interviewer, I mean, all that helps me too, because I remember, you know, some of my first interviews, you know, people were, you know, they hating a little bit out there, you know. But you know, it took a lot to say.
Yeah, you know, it happens. That's gonna happen. And I want to say, you know, and I forgot to mention this, it's probably the most important thing to mention too. You got to be prepared. You got to do your research. You got to do your homework. Yeah. So that when, if you're put in a spot where they ask you a question, or you could draw on your knowledge because you did your prep work and you know, prepared and you know about your subject. Mm. It's really will shine through in that interview. So you're not in a situation where you're like, well, I don't know. You know, right. And then that makes you look even worse, you know?
Right. Definitely. So last thing I want to get into before I want to ask you about Floyd and Logan Paul, we're going to start there. But, in terms of Fight Hub TV, in terms of your channel, in terms of this thing that you created, you know, over, you know, 10 years ago, talk to me in the first, you know, few times where your videos and your clips started, you know, really getting a lot of attention, things started getting more traction. How did all that feel to you? And when things got, you know, a little bit more consistent on that side as well?
Yeah, you know, it's a weird thing. So I checked out like the first few videos I did a few months ago. Mm. And like the first video that I posted did actually pretty decent. It got like 30 something thousand views, which I was surprised. Yeah. You know, and I was looking at the videos, and yeah, some of them had, you know, a few hundred. You know, and it was like the third video that I did, or the fourth, third or fourth, was the one that went viral. It was a video that I did with Bob Sapp. Mm. And it got like a million views. Right now it's like at 2.5 million views. But it's weird. It happened pretty early for me. Mm. In terms of getting traffic, you know, back then you couldn't monetize on YouTube. No one was making money on YouTube. People just posted anything on YouTube, and you could watch anything on YouTube. And, you know, during that time in 2008, 2009. And even then, you know, I did it, and I didn't make any money off of YouTube till like maybe 4-5 years in, somewhere around there, you know. But I always knew something good would come out of it. I had this like innate feeling and self-belief that something good would come out of it. And you know, it eventually did. But yeah, it was, I did this stuff for free for a very long time. And I just saw it, you know, as, well, you know, I'm learning the ropes. I'm green. Like I need this experience, and no one else would give it to me. Also, no one else would hire me. You know, I wanted to do interviews for other people, for other outlets, and no one would hire me because one, I was terrible. I sucked. And two, I had no experience, you know, and I figured, well, this is how I'm going to get experience.
Yeah, man, to think of that growth, you know, you came from, you know, being absolutely trash at it to now, I mean, look at you, man. I consider you, you know, one of the best reporters in the game, you know, and to see that growth over the years. And I mean, you look at your channel, I mean, over, you know, 930,000, you know, subscribers, close to a mil. You got over, you know, 700 million views on everything, man. Like, just to see that growth and to see that, I'm sure it feels good to say, you know, over 10 years ago, I was here, but now, I mean, look at me now. Look what I'm doing now. You know, I can really imagine what that feeling's like.
It's crazy, man. You know, that's for sure. It still trips me out that, you know, I make my living off of YouTube, but you know, it's not all sunshines and rainbows either, man. YouTube's stressful, bro. Yeah. YouTube's stressful, and you know, YouTube's weird. Like, I feel it. Some videos pop, some videos don't, you know, and like, there's a lot more content creators, which is great, which is good, you know. But it's not as easy to make a video go viral as it was before, because there's a lot more content creators, at least in boxing now, you know, and boxing's still like very, very niche, but I think, you know, people like me and other YouTube, it feels weird to say this, like YouTube personalities, because I don't consider myself a YouTube personality either. You know, I guess me and other YouTube content creators in this space have kind of given other people like a roadmap of what to do in order to be successful. And yeah, it's still weird because, you know, people will be like, oh, yeah, you're one of like the godfathers of like boxing YouTube. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, I'm like 38, man. I'm like, I'm not that. I gave myself an extra age. I'm 37. I'm like, I'm 37. I'm not even that old.
It's definitely something that, you know, as someone who's watching you, someone who's watched for, you know, a couple of years now, just to talk to someone who's, you know, been through that and still goes through a struggle too. You mentioned, you know, YouTube and how, you know, things aren't always, you know, on your side, you know, but, you know, still pushing through and all that. A big thing on this podcast is, you know, having people motivated, you know, like they see where people come from, they see where people are now, and the struggle is always going to be there, you know.
Bro, okay, so I'll tell you this, you know, if it's, you know, like you mentioned how much I struggle, let me tell you this, you know, I started the YouTube channel unemployed, and I was unemployed for 2 years on unemployment, negative $45 in my account, okay? Jeez. Doing side jobs, all right? I sold freaking women's makeup. I hated selling women's makeup and women's cream, but they paid $18 an hour, and it was like a part-time thing. You know, I had to do stupid jobs like that, which I freaking hated. It was so demeaning to me. I felt so weird, you know, having to hawk that. You know, I worked at UPS as like the pickup assistant, you know. I was the guys would tell me, hey, grab this box and run over there, you know, and do that, you know. I would hand out candy bars and energy drinks and put flyers on cars. I did anything and everything to make money, you know, because I wasn't making any money while doing this. And people, my friends, thought I was the dumbest person in the world for doing this. Like, dude, you have a college degree. Like, what are you doing? Like, this YouTube thing, like, this isn't going to lead to anything, you know? And it did, you know, and I'm one of the lucky ones, you know. It's sometimes I still wonder, like, how the heck did me, out of, you know, all people, end up, you know, saying that YouTube's my full time, you know? So yeah, it was a struggle, man, but you know, I had good people around me, you know, like my significant others at the times, you know, really supported me, and they gassed me up and pumped me up. And you know, I always had a belief too, you know, in myself, that it would lead me to maybe something bigger or a better opportunity. So yeah, you know, it was a lot of hard times, but I always felt that it would lead somewhere. And if, you know, the people listening, if, you know, you're passionate about something, and you have a self-belief, a conviction about yourself that, you know, this could lead to something good, you know, you just got to keep at it. You just got to keep persistent. You got to be persistent, but you also got to be honest and look at yourself so you know where to improve. So it's like, so you're not like doing the same thing over and over and over again. You know, you got to improve yourself, you know, because at some point, if you're persistent and you're fixing your mistakes, you're going to get better, and you're going to get better. And that's going to, you know, snowball into momentum, and you know, it'll lead to something, either, you know, success in your field or to an opportunity.
Interesting, man, that hit, bro. Like, I got the chills right now, man. Like, this, you know, just to see where you've come from, man. Like, congrats, man. Congrats to you, bro. Like, I just have to say that, you know, because it's definitely, man, it's good to see, you know, and there's a lot of people, you know, who are trying to, you know, get in your shoes, and who are in your shoes were when you were years ago. And you know, it's just keep your heads in it, y'all, you know, like, it will get better, you know. You know, keep being devoted to it, keep doing devoted whatever you want to do, and you know, one day, you know, things will happen, things will you know, come back around and pay off, you know, all that work that y'all put in. See, this is why I love doing this podcast, right? Because I always get like deep into people's like stories and everything, how they get started, and I completely forget about like what I was supposed to talk about the second half, you know. But yeah, I mean, we're almost out of time here, but I did want to get your opinion on a couple things in terms of YouTube boxing, which was supposed to be the whole, you know, episode. But you know, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, you know, Floyd, Logan Paul, we heard some news about that might be cancer postponed or whatever. I know Logan today came out commenting on that, saying that wasn't really true, saying it was leaked and all that. What's the latest on that, Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather?
I heard it was postponed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I heard an interview that one of Floyd's people said that, you know, that they said cancel, but then again, like, oh, yeah, they don't know what to do with it. Yeah. You know, if Logan's coming out and saying that, you know, I don't know. You know, the event was happening in February. I heard that the low end. Really, they've been tight-lipped about it, which the other thing, too, is for sure it's going to get postponed, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually by this time, you know, the PR is in full effect. They have PR people reaching out to us, telling us that there's this event. They're really pushing and promoting it, and they've done no promotion for it, for the event. And you know what? I honestly don't know how the interest is. You know, maybe like Logan's fans are gonna want to see it, but like the boxing people,
right?
I don't know if they're gonna really want to see something like that. You know, and maybe that's a thing that Floyd's team is aware of. You know.
Yeah, definitely. That's kind of what I wanted to dive into next in terms of YouTube boxing, YouTubers coming in and fighting. You know, people like Floyd. You know, people in the boxing communities. Do you think, in your opinion, is that beneficial to the sport, or is that something that's just bringing it down? Obviously, you know, new people are watching the sport, but I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, cons that come with that as well. What is your take on all of that?
You know, I'm in terms of if it's bringing new fans to the sport, I'm not 110% sold on that yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I haven't seen an uptick in viewership or anything like that, you know. So, you know, I'm not sure, because I obviously we've all heard that argument, like, oh, it's bringing new fans.
Sure.
And it's like, well, we don't really know. Like, these people could just be viewing because they like this YouTube person. They want to see him box, and then that's it, you know. So that still remains to be seen. I think overall, it's good publicity for the sport, even though some people are like, well, this is the reason why the sport is not taken seriously like it used to. It's not the mainstream anymore like it was before, because you got stuff like this happening. You know, you got, you know, Logan Paul versus Floyd and all these other YouTubers that are coming in. So, you know, it remains to be seen, I think, if it's good for the sport or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think give it a little bit to see, because, like I mentioned, I'm not fully sold yet. But,
sure,
you know, the one thing that it is doing, it is giving boxing attention. You know, like I said, you could argue if it's good or bad. But, you know, they always say any type of PR, good or bad, is good PR. So,
Definitely. Yeah, because I got people around me who, and they're arguing for both sides, and I'm just, you know, I'm confused in the middle, you know, like, because I feel like I said, you know, there's a lot of good that might come out of it, but then at the same time, like you kind of mentioned, you know, it's still a bit early, you know, we've only seen this for a few years now. Do you think this is something that's going to keep evolving over time, or do you think this is something that, you know, in the near future, it just might, you know, turn to nothing?
You know what, it's hard to tell, you know, because we had something similar to this, like back in the 90s and the early 2000s, it was celebrity boxing, you know, and now it's YouTubers, but it seems like the YouTubers are doing a lot more business than celebrities. And I'm just scratching my head, because I know for a fact, like, if celebrities were to do this, they would get more attention, more money than what the YouTubers are doing.
Right.
You know, thing is, nobody wants to risk getting knocked out. You know, like, look what happened to Nate Robinson. He got knocked out, got floored. So yeah, if this evolves, I don't know. Maybe you know, there's something that's unraveling. You know, maybe he gets a lot of crap. He gets a lot of, can I cuss?
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good.
Yeah, he gets a lot of shit. But you know, maybe Jake Paul is gonna be the guy that ends up actually turning pro and becoming a decent pro, you know, because of this. You don't know. He's fighting Ben Askren now, but I really don't know how this is going to evolve, to be honest. This is still very, very strange.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's really weird seeing the YouTube guys coming out acting like they're real professional fighters. You know, it's preposterous in one way, but you know, you can't blame them. They're getting that money, you know? Like, I respect them for getting in the ring, and I respect them that they've done a brilliant job of marketing themselves and putting themselves in a position where they can make a lot of money doing something like this, you know? So sure. I'm not going to knock that. I'm not going to knock their hustle. Sure. And I'm not going to knock that. You know, honestly, they probably have more balls than the majority of people for sure. stepping in there and actually having a real fight.
Mm, definitely. Yeah. I mean, you know, like I said, it's something that I'm confused on, man, because I just don't know. You know, that's why I want to bring someone like you on to talk about this. But I mean, we're 5 minutes over time here, and I don't want to take up any more of your time. Marcos, thank you so much for coming on, man. Do you have any last words for from the audience?
Yeah, hey Ralph, man. Thank you. I really appreciate everybody keep supporting Ralph, keep listening. You know, he's up and coming. And Ralph, man, keep doing your thing, bro. Keep grinding. Stay dedicated and just, you know, keep improving, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, man. All right, buddy. Marcos Villegas, thank you again for joining me. And
all right. Well, there's
always
that.
Welcome back, man.
Episode with, again, founder of Marcos Villegas. Dope episode. Actually, probably one of my favorites, if I'm being honest. Just because of, you know, his story. And, you know, the plan was to talk 15 minutes on him, his story, his background, who he is and all that, and spend the last 15 minutes on YouTube boxing. And it did not turn out the way I expected it to. We spent the majority of the episode talking about his story. But that's the thing, though, is that when I meet these people and I interview these people, I just enjoy, you know, talking to them about them, you know, and seeing the steps that they took to get to where they're at, you know. I think it's important. I think that's the big point of why we do the podcast. that's a huge reason why a lot of you keep coming back as well. So this dope episode is definitely one of my top episodes that I've done personally. Hopefully it was for all of you as well. Even those who maybe aren't fans of boxing. Hopefully you all enjoyed, man. It was a fire episode. Catch us back next week. For sure next Saturday. We'll see if we have a Wednesday episode. I'm aim towards it, but we'll see. But so far, man, we hit every single Saturday in January, so I'm very proud of that. We haven't missed one yet, so let's keep that grind going. We're doing good. Shout out to y'all for the support. We're gonna be back next week though, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. My name is Ralph Troncher, and as always, I'm out. I'll see y'all next week.